Good morning. Glad you're here. Please pray with me. Oh, Holy Father, we thank you for the blessed occasion of the gathering of your people. We thank you for the promise of your Son that when we gather in his name, you'll meet with us. Father, would you meet with us this day? Would you bless our fellowship? We pray that it might ascend before your throne as a sweet-smelling savor. That the fellowship of the saints this day might be sweet. That we might be encouraged and built up in the most holy faith. Glorify your Son, Jesus, in our midst this day, we pray. In his name, amen. Please open your Bibles to the fourth gospel. The gospel according to St. John, the beloved, and turn to chapter 14. John chapter 14. I don't intend to be overly mystical this morning, but there is much mystery surrounding our Savior. So I'm not sure that that adjective mystical should be considered pejorative. I will ask you to be like the Bereans and search the scriptures. And if I or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than the gospel of Jesus, let him be accursed. Galatians 1, 8 and 9. Chronology is not always apparent in John's gospel, but at the very end of chapter 13, the Savior tells Peter, the last verse, "The cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice." Now, Peter's denial is not recorded until chapter 18. So there's a lot of material between Jesus' prophecy of Peter's denial at the end of chapter 13 and the resumption of the narrative in chapter 18. But between the prophecy and the denial, the beloved apostle records some rich detail from the teaching of our Savior. Chapter 14 is a chapter of comfort. In chapter 15, we have Jesus' vineyard discourse where he teaches, "I am the vine," and the many implications of that teaching. In chapter 16, John records prophetic words, including Jesus' promise of the coming Comforter, the Holy Spirit, and a promise that God will answer the prayers of his people if they ask in Jesus' name. As you know, John 17 is an amazing chapter. It's sometimes referred to as Christ's high priestly prayer, or sometimes as the Lord's prayer, as contrasted to the model prayer, that prayer that Jesus gave us to pray. But the whole chapter is a record of Jesus' prayer to his Father just before his passion. So after all this teaching, finally, in chapter 18, the narrative resumes with this phrase: "When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden, into which he entered and his disciples." Now, I mentioned that chapter 14 is a comfort chapter, and Lord willing, this morning, we'll look at a specific promise of Jesus in chapter 14 that, saints, I hope should be very comforting to the people of God. I hope this will be a word of comfort to you, the people of God. Please stand with me for the reading of Holy Scripture. Now, here's the context. Jesus has just told his beloved disciples that he's going away, somewhere that they can't come. And he's told Peter, "In less than 24 hours, you'll deny me three times." Now, those are troubling words. And so, in chapter 14, John records that he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him." Philip saith unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." Jesus saith unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day you shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, "Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, yet being present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave you. My peace I give you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard how I said to you, I go away and come again unto you. If you loved me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you, before it come to pass, that when it has come to pass, you might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of Holy Scripture. You may be seated. Now, the specific promise of Jesus that I want to consider with you this morning is there in verse 21, where the Savior says, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." The New International Version translates Jesus' promise here: "Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father. I too will love him and show myself to him." The NET Bible renders it this way: "The person who has my commandments and obeys them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will reveal myself to him." The New American Standard says, "He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him." Manifest, show, reveal, disclose. Jesus is promising something here. He's promising something very special to those who love and obey him. He's saying that the ones who obey him are the ones who really love him. And for them, there's something special. Something extraordinary. Something unique and exceptional and profound. A manifestation, a showing, a disclosure, revelation. John's Greek here is emphanizo, and it means to exhibit, show, disclose, reveal, to make apparent or manifest, to make known. Now, earlier in the fourth gospel, back in chapter 7, the Bible records that in response to the teaching of Jesus, the Jews marveled. And they said, "How knoweth this man letters, seeing he never learned?" And Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself." John 7, 15 through 17. Now, did you get that? Jesus explicitly claimed that his teaching was divine. And he claimed that for the ones willing to obey, the ones willing to do the will of God, there would be a special gift: knowledge of the doctrine. Knowledge of the didache. Knowledge of the teaching, the dogma, the doctrine of God. Beloved, listen. You might be thinking, "Well, Edward, why are you saying it's special, extraordinary, unique, profound?" Well, because those Jews, the ones who marveled at his teaching as they observed him, they didn't get it. Listen, they did not get it. They didn't understand the teaching of Jesus. And we know that. We know that explicitly because three verses later, John records that they say to the Son of God, "Thou hast a devil." 7:20. "Thou art demon-possessed," New International Version. Oh, beloved, listen. How is it that when the words of Jesus are spoken, when the tongue of God moves, when the lips of God form words, when the breath of God issues forth in speech, logos from logos, how is it when the disturbed air vibrates on the tympanic membranes of many eardrums, and words are heard, and brains convert sounds into messages, and minds interpret and process the communication. How is it that some fall on their faces in adoration and abasement before the deity, and others who heard exactly the same words proclaim, "Thou hast a devil"? How is that? Can you explain this? Well, in the immediate context, the idea is that the teaching of God can only be received by a willing mind, by an obedient heart, by the one whose mindset is, "If I knew the will of God, I would do it. I want to do it. If I knew His will, I would do it." Jesus said, if you're willing to do His will, you shall know the didache, the teaching. Do you remember Jesus' parable of the sower? The sower scattered seed. Listen, it was the same seed. The sower was scattering seed, and some fell here and some fell there. The very same seed. But only the seed that fell on the good soil took deep root and grew up to withstand the heat of the day. Now, I believe that the good soil of Jesus' parable of the sower is analogous to the willing heart of John 7:17, the will to do His will. And I believe that the good soil of Jesus' parable of the sower is also analogous to the obedient mind, the loving mind of John 14:21. That obedient, loving mind to which Jesus promises, "I will disclose myself to you. I will reveal myself to you." To you, He says, to you, my loving, obedient one, to you, revelation, disclosure, manifestation, to you, didaskalia tau theo, to you, the truth of God. And friend, listen, how can this happen? How can this happen? How can Jesus reveal Himself and His teaching, His truth to His people, and not to the whole world? Well, listen, if you're asking that question, you're not alone. It's a good question. Actually, it's an apostolic question. Look there. Look back to the text, to verse 22. Judas saith to Him, not Iscariot, the apostle Judas says, "Lord, how is it that Thou wilt manifest Thyself unto us and not to the world?" Good question, Judas. Good question. Lord, how are You going to reveal Yourself to us and not to all of them? And Jesus answers Judas explicitly. Again, referencing the loving and obedient mind. And He says, "If a man love Me, he will keep My words. And My Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him." That's how, Judas. That's how, holy apostles. That's how, 12 disciples. That's how, you Christians who have believed because of the words of the holy apostles and the Christians who came before you? That's how. Saints, listen. Saints, if you are saints, believers, listen. If you are believers, have you understood that if you are saints, that if you are believers, it's because the Spirit of God has come to you? Have you understood that? Jesus said, "No man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him." John 6:44. Jesus said, "No man can come to me except it were given him of my Father." John 6:65. Saints, listen. Don't you see? If you are a saint, it's because the Father has drawn you to Jesus. Believer, listen. Don't you see? If you believe, it's because that belief was given you by the Father. Well, Edward, all you do is preach the same sermons over and over and over. You just say the same thing again and again and again. I do exposit Holy Scripture sometimes, but apart from that, you're probably right. Tim, I probably only got 6 or 7 sermons. You probably know them. I could pretty much tell you what they are. God is God. Salvation is of the Lord. Come to Jesus. Trust and obey Jesus. Worship Jesus. Stay with Jesus. Quit thinking wrong and start thinking right. That's pretty much all I got. I'm no Spurgeon or Brunson. I'm just doing the best I can. You know that chefs often have signature dishes. And I often refer to what I think might be our signature verse in this church. And I think that one way or another, I preach about it all the time. It's that lesson that Jonah learned from his fish belly time. Salvation is of the Lord. Jonah 2:9. Salvation is of Jehovah, of Yahweh. There is no salvation, there is no ultimate salvation anywhere except in Yahweh. Yahweh has sent His Son to be the Savior of His people, and He has, He is, He shall save His people from their sins. Matthew 1:21. Beloved, listen, do you believe that? If you do, it colors your reading of Holy Scripture. You see, somehow the whole book is ultimately about Jesus. Listen, the book is great. I mean, we're Bible lovers here. But the reason the book is great is because it's didache. It's teaching about Jesus. The Word points us to the Word. Do you understand? Do you remember that time after the resurrection of Jesus when He walked along with those saddened saints on the road to Emmaus? This is from Luke chapter 24. Listen. The Bible says, "Behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all the things which had happened. And it came to pass that While they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said to them, "What manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad?" And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, "Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. And certain women of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came, saying they had seen a vision of angels, which said he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it, even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he," that is Jesus, "said to them, 'O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself.' And they drew nigh to the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, 'Abide with us. It's toward evening. The day is spent.' And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, 'Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, while he opened to us the scriptures?'" Luke 24, verses 13 through 32. Now, saints, listen. How did Jesus conceal himself from these disciples as he walked along the Emmaus road with them? Well, the Bible says, quote, "Their eyes were holden that they should not know him." Verse 16. How did he manifest, reveal, disclose himself to them? Well, the Bible says, it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, blessed it, and brake it, and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him. Verses 30 and 31. Was it his breaking of the bread that revealed who he was? I don't know. He was the broken bread, the bread of life. Was it his giving it to them? I don't know. He, the giver, was himself the gift sent down from heaven for the redemption of men. I'm not sure. But listen, it was a spiritual revelation. It was a spiritual revelation. The same eyes that moments before had looked but did not see, in a moment of time, in an instant, they now looked with beatified vision. And they saw before them Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. And friend, they got fired up. They got fired up. They said to one another, "Were not our hearts burning within us when he was talking to us? How could we not know?" I don't know how God does what he does, but he does. I don't know how Jesus does what he does, but he does. He manifests. He discloses. He reveals. Listen, he's the creator of the eye. Cannot the one who hides also reveal? Oh, he can. And he does. He's the creator of the ear. Can he not speak to it? He's the maker of the mind. Can he not grant a thought? Listen, you married ones. Listen, husbands, wives, you married ones. Can you communicate with your beloved in ways that others cannot perceive or understand? Can you? Surely you can. And you do. Often. Often. Words are said, though not spoken. A look, a gesture, a touch. All can manifest. Listen, all can disclose. All can reveal. And why? How? Well, love. Love. Listen, beloved, we are fallen. Redeemed, yes, but flawed. Jesus is perfect. Friend, Jesus is perfect. Listen to me. Jesus communicates with his bride. He reveals himself to her. He discloses himself to her. He manifests himself to her in ways that this world cannot understand. Hidden, secret, spiritual ways. At work right now, we're in the middle of accounting close, not just for the month, but for the quarter. The last week was a long one. And Wednesday night, after our prayer meeting, I went down the road a little way with my wife and daughter to get some dinner. And as we walked into Eddie's Pizza House, Jesus spoke to me. Not in my ear, but in my eye. It was raining on part of Plano, and up in the sky there was an orange line. It was like a glowing fire line in the sky. And I think maybe it was separating where the rain was from where the rain wasn't. I'm not sure, but it was stunning and beautiful. And it wasn't there for long. And I said to Jeannie, "Isn't that beautiful?" And it was only later that I realized it was the voice of God. It was the voice of Jesus speaking to my eye, whispering to my ear. And I think he was saying to me again, "I love you. And you can see orange. And you can see beauty. And I'm the one showing it to you. I am. I am. And I am more beautiful than anything else you will ever see." Beloved, listen. If you love, if you obey, if you want to, you'll see. You'll hear. Because Jesus is speaking. He's revealing truth. beauty, tokens of love. Like there's an old song we used to sing when I was growing up. He whispers sweet peace to me. He whispers sweet peace to me. When I am cast down in sorrow, he whispers sweet peace to me. It might be in our heavenly highway. Oh. Beloved, listen. Jesus whispers sweet peace to me. Does he do that for you? The truth, listen, the truth that Jesus manifests himself to his people is powerful. Listen, beloved, it's why there are Christians. It's why there are churches. Regarding this truth that Prince of Preachers Charles Haddon Spurgeon wrote, the Lord Jesus gives special revelations of himself to his people. Even if Scripture did not declare this, there are many of the children of God who could testify the truth of it from their own experience. They have had manifestations of their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in a peculiar manner, such as no mere reading or hearing could afford. In the biographies of eminent saints, you will find many instances recorded in which Jesus has been pleased in a special manner to speak to their souls, to unfold the wonders of his person. Yea, so have their souls been steeped in happiness that they have thought themselves to be in heaven, whereas they were not there, though they were well nigh the threshold of it. For when Jesus manifests himself to his people, it is heaven on earth. It is paradise in embryo. It is bliss begun. A special manifestations of Christ exercise a holy influence on the believer's heart. One effect is humility. If a man says, I have had such and such spiritual communications, I am a great man, he has never had any communion with Jesus at all. For God hath respect to the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. He does not need to come near them to know them, and will never give them any visits of love. Another effect will be happiness. For in God's presence there are pleasures forevermore. Holiness will be sure to follow. A man who has no holiness has never had this manifestation. Some men profess a great deal, but we must not believe anyone unless we see that his deeds answer to what he says. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. He will bestow his favors. He will not bestow his favors upon the wicked. For while he will not cast away a perfect man, neither will he respect an evildoer. Thus, there will be three effects of nearness to Jesus: humility, happiness, and holiness. May God give them to thee, Christian. Now listen to me, saints. We are not charismaniacs here. So we are not putting our faith in experience or experiences. We are putting our faith in Jesus. But Jesus has said, listen, Jesus has said, he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. John 14:21. And don't we believe him? Don't we believe him? Christian, listen. Saint, you should put no stock in another person's revelation or confirmation or experience. But listen to me. You should not discount your own. When Jesus speaks to you through a sunset that sends shivers down your spine, thank Him. Thank Him for reminding you that He is the creator of the sun and that it rises and sets because of Him. God in these last days has been pleased to speak to us by His Son, through which He made all things, even the worlds. I've often reminded you that while we think of heaven as up, truly it is God's space. And though it is up there, it's right here. Listen, friend, it's right here. Just in a dimension, if that's the right word, that we can't access. Paul taught the Athenians that they should, quote, seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. For in Him, Paul said, we live and move and have our being. Acts 17, 27 and 28. Now listen, friend. Another word for not far is near. Beloved, listen to me. God is near. And especially He is near His people. Very near. His space, listen, His space is so near that it intersects and overlays our space. Somehow, according to Paul, we are in Him, living and moving and possessing our being. I don't understand that. But God's been pleased at many times and in many ways to give His people glory glimpses. And I believe that those are momentary glimpses into God's space. You remember Elisha's servant? Look, we're surrounded. Elisha said, Elisha, look, we're surrounded. Lord, open his eyes. And in a moment of time, he saw the mountains full of horsemen and chariots of fire. And he knew, they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Sometimes, listen, sometimes if you have discernment, spiritual sensitivity, perceptivity, you can almost know when a glory glimpse is going to happen. I don't want to be presumptuous today, but brothers and sisters, quite often, our celebrations of the Lord's Supper have been occasions of glory glimpses for me. As I've meditated upon the broken flesh of our Savior, in the shed blood of our God, and tasted the bread and the wine with you, glory. Cracks between spheres, light shines through. Praise God, sometimes heaven breaks through to earth. Tim, Jim Morrison sang about breaking on through to the other side. And he couldn't. He couldn't break on through to the other side. Immanuel Kant humbles us by demonstrating how all our experience is filtered through space and time. And he wonders, what can we even say of reality as it stands outside of those categories? How can we even talk about the thing in itself? Pretty much we can't. proud man has spoken in the definitive words of science. But what science proclaimed as truth 100 years ago is truth no more. It's been refuted, but listen, the word of the Lord endureth forever. Listen, we can't break on through to the other side. But friend, God can break through to our side. And He has. And He does. And He is. And Christian, listen. This world may think you're crazy. But if you'll love Jesus, if you will obey Jesus, He'll manifest Himself to you. And listen, listen, I'm not making this up, friend. He promised. He promised. He said, "He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." John 14, 21. Jesus is gone above the skies, where our weak senses reach him not, and carnal objects court our eyes to thrust our Savior from our thought. He knows what wandering hearts we have, apt to forget his lovely face, and to refresh our minds, he gave these kind memorials of grace. The Lord of life this table spread with his own flesh and dying blood. We on the rich provision feed and taste the wine and bless our God. Let sinful sweets be all forgot and earth grow less in our esteem. Christ and his love fill every thought and faith and hope be fixed on him. While he is absent from our sight, 'tis to prepare our souls a place that we may dwell in heavenly light and live forever near his face. Our eyes look upwards to the hills whence our returning Lord shall come. We wait thy chariot's awful wheels to fetch our longing spirits home. Please stand with me for prayer. Saints, lovers of Jesus, take comfort. Our God is near, very, very near. Let's pray. O thou great I am, fill my mind with elevation and grandeur at the thought of a being with whom one day is as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is one day. A mighty God who amidst the lapse of worlds and the revolutions of empires feels no variableness, but is glorious in immortality. Oh, may I rejoice that while men die, the Lord lives. That while all creatures are broken reeds, empty cisterns, fading flowers, withering grass, thou art the rock of ages, the fountain of living waters. Turn my heart from vanity, from dissatisfaction, from uncertainties of the present state, to an eternal, persisting interest in Christ. Let me remember that life is short and unforeseen, and it is only an opportunity for usefulness. Oh, give me a holy avarice to redeem the time, to awake at every call to charity, that I may feed the hungry, clothe the naked, instruct the ignorant, reclaim the vicious, forgive the offender, diffuse the gospel, and show neighborly love to all. Let me live a life of self-distrust, dependence upon Jesus, mortification of self, crucifixion, prayer, love. In Jesus' name, amen.